Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church in Wellston, Oklahoma, featuring the weekly teaching and preaching ministry of the church. We are grateful that you are choosing to join us today. Our prayer is that you are blessed by today's study of God's Word, and your heart will be receptive to what God desires to teach you today. For more information about FBC Wellston, please visit our website at fbcwellston.org. We hope you enjoyed today's service, and we look forward to studying God's Word with you today.
Last week we left off in at church camp. Church camp. I love Adam's analogy of where they were last week. Just the mass hysteria, the tiredness of being at camp. That example, maybe because I've been at church camp and I felt that. And Mark here is going to use one of his favorite words, and he's going to start out immediately. So we're not getting a break from church camp. We're going right into something else. It's immediately. We're in Mark chapter 6 this morning, right off the heels of feeding the 5,000. It's Mark 6. We're going to start in verse 45. We all, if we've spent any time in Sunday school, we know the Sunday school story of Jesus walking on the water. When we read this morning, you're going to be like, man, your Bible's maybe a little out of date or something because you're missing a character. When we read this morning, you're not going to find Peter in this one. We only see the account of Peter walking on water in Matthew. Mark and John do not account that, and so don't come to me later and say, you missed something. So it's definitely... It definitely happened. I'm not ruling that out. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that Mark wants to concentrate on something other than Peter here. And so starting in chapter 6 and verse 45, we'll read through it, and then we'll just kind of work down through these scriptures. I might bounce around a little bit. So here we in verse 45, it says, immediately he made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowds. And after he had taken leave of them, talking about the crowds, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. I just want to give you a couple of things that maybe we can tuck in our pocket and walk out with this morning that maybe something that we can use in our daily lives. I think that's what we're here for, is some applications and examples. I kind of want to skip down to verse 46 and take this little bit. And after he had taken leave from them, he went up to the mountain and prayed. Things had been so hectic and so crazy that once he got the crowds dismissed and the disciples sent away, he wanted to go spend time with his Father. He needed time for rest, and I believe he needed time for renewing himself. I'm going to use that word renewing and renewal a couple of times this morning, so I just want to give you a definition that I just simply pulled off Google. I mean, I like this one. There was a couple. Renewal, replacing or repairing of something that is worn out, run down, or broken. And I think that definitely fits this situation. I think Jesus, though he is God's son, he's still in a human body, and I do believe that he can still get tired, and he still gets hungry. Same way we see with the disciples in this. So he goes away to be alone with his father, a time of renewal, a time to get away. I think there's two different types. I'm looking, and I see a physical renewal. He needed time to rest. He needed just that time to get away. I know in my life, I need it. When I leave here today, I'm going to probably go scarf down some carbohydrates, and then I'm going to go do some resting. And then I think we see a spiritual renewal. I think we see that Jesus continually goes, we see in the Bible that we see Jesus continually going away to spiritually be with his Father for the renewing. He talks about in some of the healings, the power that goes out of him. Just that time with our Father, I think it's something we need. This is something I struggle with, that time, that special quiet time alone with God. It's one of my biggest struggles. But we see Jesus continually doing this and going, so I don't understand, you know, if we see this example, why it's such a struggle, but it's something I struggle with. There's always something pulling at us, whether it's deadlines or whether it's family or jobs or these stupid telephones we carry around in our pockets, all these things that pull us away from the quietness and the time alone with Jesus. So we see an example, God's example for us to be alone, to take that time to renew. We see a personal time that we can take for a renewing that we need to do daily. There's also, and this might be a stretch, but I think it's as a church, as a body of believers, there's a time. And coming in April, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, we're going to have a church renewal. And so you may say, what is a church renewal? I want to have a little crowd activity here. If you have been a part or attended a church renewal, would y'all stand up? If you want to know what a church renewal is, thank you, Sam. I don't know that I'm the best to explain it, but it's just a weekend that we come together. There is some highly skilled church renewal team that comes from all over the state of Oklahoma. And their skill is that they're no different than us. They're just a church member that is willing to come and help. And so church members from all over the state, there's going to be about 17 or 18 come. They're going to come. They're going to facilitate a time. It'll be Saturday, Friday night. It'll be two sessions on Saturday, and then they'll be here Sunday morning. But it's a time that they come, they share, and it's always good to be able to hear the testimonies of brothers and sisters that maybe we don't worship with every day, or brothers and sisters that are going through the same things we are, but they don't live here. And it's a wonderful time. I've been to a church renewal. I've been in church renewals. My life was changed in a church renewal, and I've seen lives changed in a church renewal. So I pray that is something that I think is in your bulletins, and it's in the newsletter. So as we get closer to that time, there will be more information on that, and there will be maybe some videos of some other people that speak better and are more able to tell you what those are. And so we see the example here in verse 45 of renewal, that time of replacing or repairing worn out, run down, or broken. I think it's something if we do every morning if I go and I renew every morning with my Lord and Savior, my day, my time management's better. I'm more gracious to other people. I tend to just have a better day. And so I think it's, once again, a great example. In verse 45, he starts out, he immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowds. There's some speculation that because there's 20,000 people here, he just fed 20,000 people spiritually, he just fed them physically, that they're thinking this can be our next king. And so there's some discussion amongst commentaries that is one reason he sent the disciples away and then dismissed the crowds. But I really struggled many conversations with Spence and others that he made the disciples get into the boat. When I read that, he made the disciples because he knows where the boat's going. Yes, it's going to the other side, but he also knows what's going to happen between this side and Bethsaida. He knows the struggles that they're going to have. And it just came to me that you're going to tell me that God's going to make me do something that's going to harm me. No, but I do believe that God puts us in situations to stretch and strengthen our ability and our faith. And I think that's what he's doing here. He puts these 12 disciples in a boat. The disciples are young men, probably late teenage, early 20s. And he sends them out in the evening. Later on in there, it's going to say that he comes to them at the fourth watch, which would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So these guys, even though they are skilled fishermen, they have been on the waters for a minute. So this isn't something, I know this scripture is short, but it doesn't happen as quickly, I think, as we like to just read through it. This is something that they're in the boat in the evening, just kind of putting some humanity to this scripture. You take 12 late teenage, early 20 boys, 12 of them, put them in a boat, tell them to go to the other side. I know my dad said, if you have one boy, you have some help. If you have two boys, you have a little bit of help. And if you have three boys, you might as well go do it yourself because you ain't got no help. So if you put 12 of these kids in a boat and you say, go, with no supervision, I can only imagine why we're out in the middle of the sea in the middle of the night. So they've left in the evening. This is a jot of about, at widest, I think the sea is 8 miles wide. I don't really know how you calculate how fast 12 men could get from one side of the sea to the other, but I'm thinking, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is whenever Jesus comes walking out to them. What were we doing in that other time? I mean, were we dawdling? Were we just like cruising along? I mean, Adam made reference last week that we had 12 to-go boxes of fish sandwiches. I mean, were they like sitting back, eating fish sandwiches, just cruising along, doing what boys do, splashing, swimming? I don't know, but we have this time that seems like life's good. Life's easy. We're chewing on our fish sandwiches. Everything's going good. And I can only imagine the conversations that are going on in the boat. I mean, this has only been 2,000 years ago, so they're probably goofing off, and then one of them hears a clap of thunder or maybe a little breeze. Maybe John says, "Hey, Thomas, have you checked the Gettner? Have you called Val? Because I'm feeling a little breeze going on here." And he's like, "No, John, I ain't checked it." And Peter, you pull up on your app. Is there a storm coming? Maybe. I mean, we've all been out in the yard working, and all of a sudden, where'd that come from? You know, maybe a drop of rain or some wind. I don't know, but I mean, it could be possible. It come up quick like that. But nonetheless, we find them in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. In our lives, it seems like a lot of times we can cruise along easy. Things come up all of a sudden, maybe. The wind start blowing, and then things start getting hard. It don't really tell us. It just says, Jesus saw them, and they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. In about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. They've been struggling for a while. They've been pulling at the oars, trying to make headway. It says painfully. We cruise along in life, and things are good. Maybe we have to work out a little bit, but then those big things, those winds come. And then when Jesus shows up, we're surprised. I don't know why. Sorry, I got to scroll through my tablet. I can only imagine what they've seen. What they thought when they seen Jesus walking on the water. It's pitch dark or it's night. It says they thought it was a ghost. I'm sure Peter squealed like a girl. That just seems to be his personality. But Jesus quickly made his presence known. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." How many times have we been in the boat, rowing against the storm of life, exhausted to no end, but we're exhausted to no end, but we don't turn to God, we turn to everything else, but finally when we, on our own strength, fell, I come, and God, when I finally turn to Him, He is always there to say, "Take heart," or "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." I find it that whenever Jesus gets in our boat, the storm usually ceases. I don't know why we're surprised. They had just witnessed miracles. They had just finished feeding possibly 20,000 people off of Brother X. I mean, when you tell fish stories, are they this big or are they this big? I mean, it doesn't matter how big the fish are. and how big the loaves are. I mean, a sunbeam packet from the dollar store, I mean, that's still not enough. No matter how small, it's still not enough food to feed. They had just seen this miracle done. They had just come from casting out demons and healing people in the beginning of chapter 6, when Jesus had sent them out. They had seen miracle after miracle, but yet here we are surprised again. And I think that's where we come down to verse 51, talking about, or 52, and they did not understand the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. If they didn't understand all that they had seen and all that they had heard about what was going on, then I know there's hope for me, because I don't understand everything that goes on with me. I just want to give a couple of small testimonies of my own of like where I feel I have set and I do set in the boat of life, and I fail like this. Maybe one pertains better than the other, but we're pretty lucky, me and Denise and I. Our kids, we have good kids, and we have a grandson, and that's even better. That little thing, he makes the world go around. He comes home for Christmas, and Christmas, you know, it's always a little bit of a rocky time with family and meshing of all families and things, especially when everyone wants to see the new grandson. They're home. Hannah's, and many of y'all know this story, but Hannah's home. She's not feeling well. Back hurts. Have a great Christmas, man. That boy, he racked up the toys, and we sent him home. Life was good. We were glad. We're glad they were here. Glad they were gone. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're ready for a little bit of rest. Christmas had come and gone. It's December the 26th. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and the phone rings. Around our house, phones don't ring at 5 o'clock in the morning unless something's wrong. Cows are out. Someone's hurt, and that's the case. The phone rings. I can hear Hannah on the other end on Denise's phone. She says, "Mom, I can't feel my legs. I just called the ambulance." The winds started blowing in our house. Denise, she gets in the car. Of course, she's throwing stuff in. She's throwing stuff in bags, and she's getting out of here. They get her to the hospital. Find out she has two ruptured discs in her back. She can't feel anything below her waist. Surgery 5 or 6 hours after she goes to the hospital. I'm not there. I'm scared to death. God, be with my baby. Be with my baby girl. I'm scared. And I know from my faith that whatever happens, that Jesus is holding my daughter in her hands. And you're like, and I know it'll work out. You're saying, "Van, where's the miracle?" The miracle is there's a man that can take a piece of equipment. He can go into your lower spine and he can fix, don't ask me how and don't ask me the names, I don't know. He fixes her. She couldn't feel her lower extremities. By the next morning, they have her up. She's walking around. It's a miracle. I think we see these miracles, but we don't say what they are because of my life events and the things or maybe not my time of renewal with Jesus every day. I don't pay attention to these little miracles that that are around us. Just one more testimony. As I'm standing here right now, obviously I already said through church renewal, changed my life. In that church renewal, I said, God, whatever you want, I'll do. I was more referring to like scrubbing toilets or shoveling dirt or brooms, or I wasn't really planning on this part. Speaking was not one of them. Obviously, I spoke back in October when Spence was gone. So there's four other of us, of elders, and I'm thinking, all right, we got Jimmy, and we got Greg, and we got Adam. I've got a good year. I got a year better before I have to step back in there. Back around Christmas, we're gathered up and we're talking, and Spence's like, oh yeah, we're going to Greece. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Who's preaching? He's like, Jimmy's like, I gotta be at the firehouse. They don't want. So I'm like, yeah, Greg will step up. And Greg's, yeah, he's, well, I'll lead worship. Adam's like, well, I got one. But then I think Adam has to leave tomorrow. And we're like, oh, we don't put all that on Adam, whatever. And I was like, ah, fine. I'll do it. So that's, you know, 2.5 months ago. In the boat, right? Cruising along. I know I'm here. I know that I'm talking about this scripture. I know I'm reading it, I'm trying to process things, and I promise you, when I'm driving down the road, my sermons sound a whole lot better in my head than they do right here. And I'm getting y'all. I mean, y'all are jiving with me when I'm thinking about this while I'm driving down the road. But Adam speaks last week, and that guy rocks it. I mean, he's a good speaker. And Satan starts whispering in your ear. The wind starts blowing my boat, and I start getting scared. And this is where I come to in verse 52. I keep coming back here. I know what my God has done for me. Day after day after day. Just these two stories. Small. That's what he's done. Just a small part of what God's done for me. But I continually harden my heart to what I know he can do, what I've seen him do. Brothers and sisters, please don't leave here today not remembering what God can do for you. I'm always good at starting a sermon. I'm never good at finishing a sermon. These are two things, two small things, like I said, that I hope that you can take with you this morning, away from here, the miracles that Jesus does for you every day, to take courage or take heart. It is I, and do not be afraid. Do not fear whatever it is, whether you're standing up here speaking God's word or you're standing at your kitchen table speaking God's word. I just want to have a time of response, no different than any other time that we come together. that time of response, there's three things we can always do. It's a time that we pray, a time that we give, and a time that we worship. We worship because of the things God has done for us, the things that we see here this morning. And so let us pray, and then we'll have this time.
Thank you for joining us today at FBC Wellston. We would love to hear from you or connect with you if you will visit our website at fbcwellston.org. Please let us know if we can serve you in any way, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.